Savior. God, he is the Lamb of your way. Messiah. Messiah has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to have to come into the house of Yahweh and have one of those breakthroughs whereby there's a consensus voice. We cry unto him for his mighty deliverance from the oppression and the yoke of our own will and our flesh. It has to be broken. That is why Messiah had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had to cry as though the sweats as great drops of blood perspired off of him. And in the power of that, it was revealed unto him that the thing that he was about to accomplish was for the greater part of the whole earth, and that the Father would be glorified in that. But he had to press through to the opposition of his flesh, his own cultural identity. We must begin to do that. I watched the young ones on the basketball courts. The young girls had an effervescence about them in playing, jumping, and moving. Yet when it comes to those things that will give them a pure sense of revelation, there is no effervescence or no thrusting forth in that arena. And we must do that, saints. Paul, as he extolled those at Rome, he said to them, he said, "You beloved ones, I beseech you by the mercies of Yahweh." He said that ye present your bodies unto him as a living sacrifice. He means what he says. He said, first of all, that you present your bodies unto him as a living sacrifice. And the only way you can prove that which is holy, good, and perfect, acceptable will of your way is that we do that. We present our bodies unto him as a living sacrifice. And in the midst of that, we will prove that which is good, that which is righteous or holy, and the acceptable will of your way. And then he warns them, "And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of Almighty Yahweh." This is the generation that the mindset is conformed to the world. This what we call, quote, Christendom, unquote. It is not the tabernacle of Yahweh. The mindset desires what the world desires. It has the same aspirations, has the same focus, has the same purpose, and they are in bondage into sin. The sin of their own lust, their own will, their own purpose, their own desire, for there has been a conformity to the world. And yet they deny the power of Yahweh, for they say in their heart, there is no God at all. And that is what the world says. It says no to Yahweh. It says no to any kind of righteousness. And it resists every law of purity and righteousness. That is what a God does. Establish their own government and their own power, their own laws. And America is a god unto herself. And those in this nation, they are gods unto themselves. They do not present their bodies unto Yahweh as a living sacrifice. This generation is conformed to the world. The women dress like the world. The men aspire to be like the world. The things that inspire the heart of the world that inspire these, they call themselves saints. They're not saints of Yahweh. They're not born again of the Spirit of Yahweh. We're coming to this hour whereby his name is going to be proven, whereby he is the one that delivers and brings salvation unto people. We trust in chariots and horses and all kinds of theology and philosophies. And now the hour is coming whereby his name is the excellent name or not. He says his name is an excellent name. And so when we call this gathering of this, quote, church, unquote, it is not the tabernacle. It is not the congregation of Yahweh, because in the midst of that there is a holy convocation unto Him. A mind given over unto His perfect laws and His righteous commands. He expects that. The world expects that. You must present your body unto the world as a living sacrifice. Corrupt, degenerate, vile, and wicked. And that's your reasonable service unto the world. That you conform to their standards, to their laws, to their righteous laws and their creeds and their statutes. You are commanded to do that. You must do as the world does. You have to do those things. You train your children with that that corrupt mentality that conforms to the world's standards. And that's why they desire such worldly and lustful things. Very few minds desire the coming of Messiah. They don't desire truth. They don't desire righteousness. And when this mind is conformed to the world, it spends more time on the sensual things than the spiritual things. That's why there must be a transforming, a completely changed mind. Tell me how far, and what's the difference between your mind now and it was 5 years ago? Something is wrong if your mind has not been transformed and renewed by the power of Yahweh's anointing. He doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. And this world has a conformity that you must conform to it. It says unto man, I am the Supreme One. It is I. And Paul warned the Romans not to be of that nature. For simply by the grace of Yahweh that I'm able to speak this unto you. And he said, don't be high-minded, or don't exalt yourself above a brother or sister, or to think of yourself more highly than you do others. And that's the conformity of this world. They think of themselves more highly than others. And they only have the putrid penuries of this life. And there's no life in it at all. It doesn't produce any kind of life. It doesn't produce any kind of wholeness. This is a corrupt generation. It is a mindset that is turned away from Yahweh. It doesn't love truth. It despises truth. It despises government, His laws. They will not allow Him to rule in their affairs. They will not allow His constitution to fill their hearts. That they obey Him. That His law of righteousness is established in them. They reject that. They have a corrupt law today. And everyone is walking under his own godship. Just like Adam and Eve, because they rebel against Yahweh. They're not eating the pure things of Yahweh. They're eating of the dangers of their own lust and their own flesh. They've established laws that are so corrupt and so vile and so insidious that they say unto the Father that you are despised by me. And any priest that knows the Father, he said, don't despise my name. Don't despise me. And this is a generation that despise Him. They reject Him. Everything about His pure identity they reject. And so what they have done, they have molded their own images. They have allowed the Lord to be melted down or His truth in their spirit. And they began to form their own images as to whom He is and what He represents. What He represents to them, what He is to them. They began to form these images that delude them and remove them from the simplicity of the power of His truth. And that's why they're in sin and they walk in sin. They can't walk clean. Can't live clean. They love pleasures and the pleasures of this life and the deceitfulness of the riches of this life. And they care more for the world than they do for the things of Yahweh. That's not so. And it can't be. You can't care for that and care for Him. You can't serve Him and mammon. You're going to love one and hate the other. Cling to one and despise the other. So it can't be that. And because this generation has conformed to the world, this trash that we call Christianity, it is a forest. It's a shameful, sinful thing. Every kind of vile thing is permitted. Everything that is corrupt and vile is permitted. He said, I want your body as a living sacrifice. Satan commands that. Your body as a living sacrifice. For when you are finished, he has no use for you at all. Yahweh wants our bodies. Do you not know that your body is the temple of Yahweh, the Holy Ghost? And if any man defile the temple, Yahweh will destroy. Do you not understand that? He will destroy every body that defiles the temple. We will succumb to Satan. We will give in to his corrupt ways and his corrupt laws. Yet we will oppose what Yahweh says. Those things that are corrupt and not according to Scripture. We will go against what he says because it satisfies an element of our flesh. And that is not the will of Yahweh, because your flesh is enmity against him. It despises him. It doesn't love his laws. You love mom and daddy and things and tenderness more than you love him. You can't love him there more than you love him. You gotta love him with everything you have. You gotta love his laws above everything. If you mean losing son, daughter, mom and daddy, you must love him above all things. So when you began to show forth that pure love of Yahweh, you don't have to worry about losing them. They will be lost unless they have the same divine spirit. And if they have the same spirit, you will talk about the things that are essential to eternal life. That's why the minds today are so conformed to the world. They talk about worldly things and lustful things and carnal things. And there's no power of the seed to reproduce in them. And that's why it's a tragedy today. You see no real essence of his life. No power of his life down in his soul. You see the response of carnality and fleshly actions and fleshly deeds. That's all you see. You don't see the power of his light of his spirit that in the souls of many today. Because there is no desire to present the body unto him as a living sacrifice. We must love him with all, everything. He commands that. He doesn't share that with anyone. He doesn't. Why? Because he loved us with all. He loved us with all. And he's not going to accept second best. There is no second best. There is only one. And there's a pure love for him. And when a man loves him with that, that man delights in him. That one delights in him. And because he delights in him, he would impart into that man a desire that is pure and right. Because we delight in him, he will give us our very heart desire. He will manifest that, not this trash that they say is coming from Yahweh. And that is his desire for you. It is a life from the dungeons of darkness. There's no life in it. His desire for you will produce one thing, and that is the life and the power of whom he is. It doesn't produce death. He is life. And he is light. And what they call that his desire, they are corrupt. They are vile and they are walking in a very corrupt, insidious way. They produce death, and sin, and corruption. And yet they say it produces him because he gave me this desire. What God gave you the desire? It wasn't the Father. It was the God of this world. As Messiah, as Paul warned us of him. He has given you that desire. Sure, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all the desire he gives you. Nothing else. And men say, well, we love him. Not so. You can't love him with the conformity of the world. You can't love him with your mind conformed to the world. You can't love him desire what the world desires. You can't love him going the same way the world goes. The world says there is no Elohim, there is no God, Yahweh, there is even no Jesus Christ. There is nothing there. And the hypocrisy that we have walked in, thinking that we have been walking in light, and that is not so. Yahweh has done a very powerful work. And it's one thing if you look in Scripture in Ezekiel, in the potter's house, if the potter took the clay, and he molded and he shaped it into a vase, and he put that thing in the kiln, and if it did not mature, or if it did not come through as a pure vase, it would break. He would take that and reduce it back to clay again. And the second time, he would throw it in the potter's field if it did not form into the shape of that vase. And the first time, the first man, Adam, came, and the vase was broken. He imparted it to man, an anointing, and a spirit, and the vase was broken. Why? Because there were chinks in there. There were things there that were not pure. And so when the test of fire came with Satan, it broke. And now this second man, Adam, was he has come, and this hour, if it breaks this time, he's thrown it in the potter's field. He must stand the test. And that's why he's shaping his people now, their minds, their hearts, for the kill and the fire of tribulation. that he will be exalted and his name will be feared even amongst the heathens. And he means what he says. He means what he says. He began to shape that first vase. And when he put it in the trial of the fire to obey him, to keep his laws, it fell. It fell because the flesh was weak. And it fell. And it fell. He did not toss it into the potter's field. He did not throw man away. No, sir, no, ma'am. He brought him in and he reduced him down to nothing, to power. He began to put the living water in man, which is Messiah. He began to pour the living water into the clay. And as he began to pour the living water into the clay, he began to form it with his hands. And over the years, he has formed this man, this identity. He has formed him with his hands. He has brought that cluck of clay and began to form him. And now the vase is ready for the fire of trials to prove whether the work is of the workman that is able to work things according to his righteousness. And it will produce the fullness of him and is able to retain the new wine. He will not drink wine with us anymore until we sit down in the kingdom with him. And then we're going to be vessels or vases whereby we can, our bodies can be filled with the wine of heaven. With the wine of heaven. He didn't throw him away with Adam. He put him out of the garden, but he didn't throw him away. He didn't throw him away. But this time, if he failed, he's thrown him to the potter's field. And that is the revelation of truth. That is the word of Yahweh. Whether we receive it, whether we acknowledge that, and whether we believe it. Everything must go according to Scripture. Has nothing to do with any man. Has nothing to do with a man's sins or his wickedness, his carousing. Has to do according to Scripture. For Messiah was the perfect man. He was a perfect vase. He didn't throw him away into the potter's field. He declared that it is finished. The words were finished. The works were finished in that body that was made. That was made. And the Word was made flesh. And we are made in the image. The Scripture says we ought to be conformed into the image of Messiah, his dear Son. And that is what we ought to be conformed into. And not into the conformity of these carnal and natural things. That we ought to be conformed into the image of his Son. That we can prove that which is good, righteous, and acceptable before Almighty Yahweh. And if we don't do that, then woe unto us. Woe unto us. For the trial of fire is coming. And there's only one thing that's going to stand the trial of fire. Not your religion. And not your crying. Not your feel good. Not your sensual feelings or emotions. It's not going to overcome, or you're not going to be able to make it. There's only one thing. And that is the identity of whom he is in you. He was in that body of clay by the power of his word. And that clay overcame sin, the powers of darkness. And every foul thing there was, he overcame it. And we are going to be tried the very same way. Those that are the body will be tried the same way. And they will know their Redeemer. They will know whom Yahweh truly is. Not some figment of some God. Not some imagination of some God. I can ask us all that general question. And we will all give us an identity that is diametrically opposed. Some believe that, some believe that. That is not the identity of Almighty Yahweh. He has one identity. Why? Because he is the only one and true and living Yahweh. There is no other beside him. And if that's the case, we should not have all these different perceptions and concepts of him. He is one, and his identity is one. That's why he said Messiah, that he would identify who he is. And he poured a great anointing upon him, that he would identify who he is in the fullness of that body of clay. And there will be no doubt at all as to who he was. And men doubt who he is. They don't know who he is. They wonder about him. And religion has distorted that. And even their religion is not pure. It's corrupt. Very unclean. Because it caters to one thing. Flesh. Flesh. That's all it caters to. Flesh. It never deals with the denial, the conformity, the crucifixion. That's what religion does. It conforms to flesh. It conforms to flesh. But not the will of Yahweh. It destroys flesh. that it cannot rise up against him, that will not try to repudiate him. In our daily walks, we do that. We rebuke him. We resist him. We deny his laws and his righteousness. But it's not going to proceed any farther. For Messiah came to the hour in the garden that he must be offered up as a sacrifice. He wasn't a dead sacrifice. And Yahweh made sure that because he cried and he wailed until the sweat, this is nothing here, until the sweat poured off of him. He didn't have no fans over him. He wasn't in no air-conditioned building. And then he didn't have nobody praying with him. They were all sleeping and slumbering in their sins, in their drunkenness. And this is a generation that is asleep. It is drunken. It is not a sober generation. The flesh has brought us under such drunkenness that we despise truth. We resist truth. We hate truth. Because we don't have any love and affection for the truth of Almighty Yahweh. Your religion will take it to your flesh and give you comfort there and cause you to continue to walk down that dark road that leads your soul there into the darkness of hell. But when the glorious light shone, even as Saul walked down that road to Damascus, he knew who he was because he was the glory of Yahweh as he spoke down unto him. And he asked him, why thou persecutest thou me? And we are persecuting the same Messiah. We speak against him. We resist what he says. Because we don't know him. He said to Israel, ye shall know my name. His name. And I will speak to you. He's not speaking to this wicked world. I don't care what folks are saying. He has spoken by his son. And they don't believe that. They don't believe that. Moses said, if you believe, Joshua said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he prophesied, he wrote, and he spoke of me. But because you don't believe Moses, you don't believe me. Because you don't receive what Moses said, you're not going to receive what he said. And I say to you today, because you don't believe what Moses said, you don't believe what he said. You don't believe what Ezekiel said, you don't believe what he says. You don't believe what Isaiah said. You don't believe what he says. You got to believe what they said of him in order to know who he is. And if you don't believe what they said, there's no witness to who he is. That his witness is a lie. That must be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses whether he is of the truth. And Isaiah testified of him. And Ezekiel and Obadiah, Jeremiah and Job and all of them testified of the power of this righteous light of Yahweh that will shine forth from the darkness of this earth and illuminate the power of Almighty Yahweh's glory in the lives of men, that they can walk without sin, free from the power of darkness, free from every corrupt thing there is. The only way you're going to get that freedom, you must be transformed. You're not going to get that conforming to this world. And Satan is doing a masterful job. He's conforming them to the world. They love the way the world lives. They're selfish like the world. They're greedy. They want theirs like the world. They don't want the will of Yahweh. It is not the spirit of Yahweh. Not at all. Why? Because we know our kingdom is not of this world. Messiah said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight for it. I'm not fighting for this world. I'm set for defense of whom he is. Of that precious name and the glory that was in the name that came in Messiah. I'm set for defense of his righteous law. Nothing else. Nothing else. I lay down my life for that. Because I know one day I'm going to pick it up again. I'm going to pick it up again. And only those that are in him, not in religion, not in these corrupt whorehouses, but in him. In him. There was only one body. And that was the body of Israel. And that is simply the power of Yahweh with them. And there's only one body today. There's only one body. And the power of Yahweh is not in these whorehouses. It's not with the Baptists. It's not with the Anglicans. It's not with the Pentecostals. It's not with the Apostolates. It's not with the Protestants. It's not with the Catholics. It's in the house of Israel. They're going to know their Father, his name. And they're going to be strong and they're going to do exploits. They're going to be exploited. This religious whore is being exploited on every behalf today. It shows you our spiritual place where we are, where we allow the spirit of the world to manipulate us. And move us away from the simplicity of his laws and his truth.
who will cast aside his righteous words because of how the spirit of this age has manipulated that mind because it is in the conformity of this world. And Yahweh never intends for us to conform to this world. He doesn't want that. That's why Messiah came and he tried to please his flesh because that was an opposition with his flesh. But he pleased the Father in everything that he did. Who are we pleasing today? Look now to your own soul. Don't worry about your neighbor. Look at your own soul. Tell me who are you pleasing? You please the God of your belly, as the scripture says. You please with every kind of lust, every kind of thing that satisfies that unsatisfying lust down in your belly. And you will see what scripture says. Say, I don't want that. David said, feed me with food that is convenient your way. Feed me until I want no more. Feed me with the things that are convenient to my soul, that are necessary for my soul, that I might walk in the power of your light. Men don't want to love. They don't love light. They hated light. The light shined into the world and men hated it. Why? Because they didn't want their deeds to be made known. And men don't want their corrupt deeds to be made known, so they despise light. They don't want them prowling in their affairs and their business. They don't want the Father showing them their sins, their corrupt ways. There's only one truth. He's been revealed the Messiah. That's it. And it's not a hard truth that he pulled men like Peter, Paul, John, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, and he poured that anointing in them. And by the power of that anointing, the truth was revealed unto them. They that say they have the anointing have no anointing. We have been deceived. We have been bewitched. Don't tell me we haven't been bewitched. We say we have started in the spirit. And now we're going to get closer to him in our flesh. We are digressing away from him. We're going more to fleshly desires. How in Yahweh's kingdom can we get close to him that way? We're not denying the things of the flesh. We don't bring it under subjection. When the flesh cries, we fit or give in to it in every aspect. Oh, foolish people of this hour, who have bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth. Don't you know you're foolish? You are bewitched when you don't obey the truth? Thus the scripture. Who have bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth. When a man is bewitched, he cannot obey the truth. He cannot obey the truth. We have been deceived. But when a man cannot obey the truth, he is bewitched. There's a spirit of transgression, rebellion, and shock. There's an idolatry there. What is idolatry? It is the form or a worship of some kind of God. So don't tell me we worship him. We worship our own aspirations and what we desire. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. I want this and I don't want that. I like her. I don't like this one. That's wickedness. Don't tell me there's no anointing of Yahweh in that. You skirt that law to satisfy your flesh, and you will not receive that profound truth that makes your man free. That's the only way we're going to be free from the bondage of this age and the bondage of this life. We must do what he says. I'm determining my soul to go all the way. I'm determining my soul to go all the way. I'm determined to go all the way. And so when I find the nuggets of truth in this book here, then it caused my soul to be that much more satisfied. With Almighty Yahweh, with him alone, I'm satisfied. Not the riches of the things of this life. You see, that day when he opened my eyes, I saw the drift of this great pearl. And I laid aside everything to find the power of that richness. And as to the knowledge of his truth, it reveals that unto us. We may know him in the beauty of his glory, the power of his might. We don't know him that way. You can kid yourself and say you know him that way, but we just don't know him that way. Even as he appeared unto Moses in a powerful flame of fire, as he stood there with Moses, Moses knew him, and he said, just speak to the rock. Just speak to the rock. And Moses smote the rock. Instead of doing what the Father said, as he seen the mighty power of Yahweh to deliver 5 million plus out of the land of Egypt, he brought them out of a place whereby his name could be exalted, that they would come and worship him. And that was the purpose of delivering them. He didn't deliver you to go back to that wicked thing that you did while you were out there. He delivered you from the shackles of bondage that you may exalt him and worship him. He hasn't delivered you to get a wife or a husband, start a family. He delivered you that you may worship Him. That's why He delivered you. He didn't deliver you for granddaughters or grandchildren, son or daughter. He delivered you to worship Him and to exalt Him. He delivered that house out of the bondage to worship Him. And they went out there and began to murmur. They became murderers. Began to complain. They began to complain. You say, I don't complain like that. Your complaining is going to destroy your soul. Your murmur is going to destroy you to hell. I don't care what you murmur about. The scripture says, in all things give thanks unto Him. If there's a trial, you give thanks. If there's an affliction, you give thanks. If there's ostracized to give you, you give thanks. In all things you need what He says to give thanks. But if I does that, He knows that man truly trusts Him. He waits upon the promise of Yahweh. He waits upon that deliverance. And yet He brought that house out and began to murmur. And they began to complain. See, the mighty deliverance of Yahweh, they began to murmur and began to complain. They began to do that, open up their hearts, every kind of unclean spirit. Every kind of vile thing. That the women began to lust at the women. They did it there. Men began to lust at the men. They turned their hearts against Yahweh. The scripture said they ate and they rose up to play. They sat down and they ate and they rose up and they played. What a wicked thing. What a vile thing. What an open shame. Men are doing it the same way today. They haven't changed at all. The smiling Messiah. They say, I don't want you. That's not what I want to do. I didn't think it was going to be that way. I didn't think I had to lay this down because they're just like the young rich ruler. They're rich with their friends and their family. They're rich with their monies and their cares. They're rich with their goods and their lunch. And Yahweh says, lay it down. Put it all down. Come follow me and I'll give you true riches. I'll give you sons and daughters. I'll give you family. And they say to him, it's a sorrowful thing. And they turn away. Why? Because they got much. They got much in their wicked hearts. They got much that pertain unto them. Had nothing to do with Yahweh. So they can't lay it down. They can't turn their hearts away. The rich young ruler. Scripture says he went away sorrowful. For he had much. Had too much to give. He didn't want to give up all that. He didn't want to turn his heart away from those things. Just too much to give. Too much to give up for what? For eternal life? For the promise to see Him in His glory. I know one thing for certain. We are going to die from this ram. Whether you believe that or not. And your mom is not going to help you along the way. Your dad is not going to help you. Your sons are not going to help you. It's going to take the truth of Almighty Yahweh. It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith in what He has said. That is our confidence of hope is the faith and the promise that is given unto us by Messiah. And without that, you're going to die hopeless. You're going to die without any kind of promise at all. Mom is not going to resurrect and dad is not going to resurrect you. It's going to take the quickening of Yahweh's spirit to raise you up from the dead. And as sure as Messiah was raised up, I'm going to be raised up. If there's no resurrection, and there's no hope for us at all. And our faith is in vain. There's no promise at all. None whatsoever. And so what man has done, they have taken the things out of the Old Testament that pertain unto the flesh. Don't you understand? They say they are their father Abraham. They are their father Abraham when they talk about faith. Oh, they believe that. And they want to quote Abraham had riches and much. And yet when you always said Abraham out, he went out knowing not where he was going. He didn't send him to no certain place. He did not tell him he was going to have a fine house. He said, go! And he went. They're not of the seed of Abraham. They got their confidence in their houses, their lives, their jobs. They become servants unto the masters of the world. And Yahweh is not their master. No man can serve two masters. Messiah can't be your master in the world. Abraham did not know where he was going. When it came time to sacrifice, I believe he did it with wholeheartedness. When he brought Isaac to that place, he did it because he knew that he was able to raise him up again. You don't believe that. We don't believe that he's able. He's able to cleanse us and to save us. He's able to sanctify you, purge of all your sins. He's able to give you the right mind. He's able to give you the right spirit. We don't believe that. But Abraham believed that. And he took Isaac to that place to be sacrificed. And he drew back that knife to offer him up unto Yahweh. He held his hand and said, "There's a ram in the bush. I knew you would do it, Abraham. I had no doubt about it." We're not willing to give up anything for him. Our sins, our corruption, our lust, our lying, deceitful ways, our backbiting, our deceitful love, our unfeigned love, our corrupt matter. We're not willing to give up anything for him. Not one thing at all. And we think that we're going to be blessed with him. That is not so. You're not going to be blessed with him. What about his blessed Yahweh is full of his righteousness. He's full of his laws. He's full of his love. He's full of his love, kindness, and his compassion. Sure he is. And because we love this present evil world more than we love him. Because it chokes out the word of Yahweh. But we become very unfruitful. There's no power of his spirit. We say what we want to. We say what we will. But it's not. The least little fire you crack. He causes you to go through little fires today. And you falter, you shake, you break. I'm telling you something, honey. You're not going to make it in the big fire. And that's a fact. You go through little fires for one another. You break on that, you're not going to break it in the big one. Your law break is shattered, is faltered. There's a fire that is coming. It's going to take faith to endure this fire. It's going to take the purity of Yahweh to overcome this. And so these little fires we have, we can't extinguish them. I have the living water. We ought to be able to extinguish that. We have the pure water out of our soul. We draw from the well that never went dry. These little fires, we can douse with the little fire of the living water of Almighty Yahweh. How do you do that? Submit yourself unto the law at the word of Yahweh. You resist the power of hell, and he must flee from you. And so if you can't extinguish that, how are you going to extinguish in the further trial? I should try your faith. I should try your faith. See if you have faith in him. Good master, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. I've done good to the folks, good master. I've sown for them. I've made booties for the little children. I brought them clothing. I've done all these nice things. I worked every day. I gave every time. I did it, good master, with you in mind. And he said to you, sell all that you have. Well, what do you mean? Give out. Turn your flesh and your will over unto me. Lose every perspective that you have but one. And that is to satisfy me and to please me above all things. Men are not trying to please him. What a sad tragedy. You please sons and daughters, wives and husbands. I'm going to please him. I'm going to please him above wife. I will. Please him above husband. I'll go. Wherever you tell me to go. And he is telling me to go on the way of straight. The straight and the narrow path. That's what he's telling me to go. To go down that straight and narrow road. There ain't no place to turn around on that road. There ain't no place to look back at who's following you. You just go straight. And if they're on that straight street, you know they're with him. This wicked generation is turning around. Because they've been on the broad way. That's what religion has done. It's made it broad. It's made it broad in a wide way. You can come in and do what you want to. You can say it any way you want to. You can regard men of Yahweh any way you want to. You can denounce them, tell them that they're liars, and they don't know what they're saying. And yet you know what you're saying. Yet you have a profound revelation. Don't you see the treachery of hell and what the enemy's done? That's why I say you obey them. You obey them. If Yahweh ordained men after his heart, they won't lead you wrong. They won't take you to darkness. What wicked world, they have no confidence. And the scripture tells us even about your heart. Because you won't obey all Yahweh, your heart is deceitful. And desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? That's why we need the heart of Messiah and the mind of Yahshua the Lamb. And yet their own hearts deceive them, thinking they're going the right way. And Yahweh said, there are those that have rule. They have rule in the spiritual realm. They will preach unto you those things. Why? Because I've chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And so what their God says, I go my way, I make my own determination, I make my own scripture values, and I will save myself. Not so, only Yahweh can save. Only Yahweh can save. Only Yahweh. Only Yahweh. Salvation belongs unto Him. Yeah, don't He tell us to save ourselves from this untoward generation? He's always saying, keep yourself from it. Keep yourself. Keep yourself from this generation. Keep yourself from the conformity of this generation. We conform to it. We conform in every aspect. And Yahweh never intended for us to conform to this wicked generation. He never did. He never did. He never, never did. Messiah, that was a body that He was birthed out of. And that was a work that He had to finish. He had to. He didn't worry about Mama how she felt. He didn't worry about Joseph how he felt. He came to please the Father. And He pleased the Father. That's why He could tell him it's finished. It's finished. And we say it's finished. I'm finished with this. I'm finished, Yahweh. Allow my flesh to take me under these extremities and bring me down this path. It produces nothing but death. Death. As our souls are light up with the brightness and the radiance of the power of this understanding. This generation that has no understanding today. So that is lost. At the threshold of darkness and hell. Has no insight as to what He's doing. We can trick ourselves and say, yes, I do. But we don't have that. We don't. That's why when those prophets stand in Jerusalem, they're going to perform great and mighty miracles. That's why Messiah even told us, he warned us about this end time. He warned us, He said, and there shall be many false Messiah, and they shall do great wonders. And if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In the other place, He said, they will seduce the elect. And this generation is being seduced. It's being seduced by the things of their eyes, by the lust of their flesh. You know, this is a proud generation. And that's what these false messiahs, they're false messiahs. They're saying, I can save myself. He said, I told Mother Foolishness to preaching the Savior. That's what they're saying. That's the truth. We think these messiahs are going to be some men walking around saying, I'm Messiah. No! There are many false messiahs today. You always say, I've told them about the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And they say, I'm my Messiah. I save myself. Nobody's going to tell me. It's a lie from hell. It's a trick from the bellies of darkness. That's what it is. You deny that, you deny Him. For Messiah said it. He is the Word become flesh. And that is the Word of Yahweh. If you deny that, you deny every component of it. You deny one aspect, you deny it all. Well, I'm ignorant of that day you set still and stand still and see the salvation. What this wicked generation does, they want to combat. And they want to war against that they don't understand. All they need to do is stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. That's all they need to do is stand still. Just wait. Wait. And He will reveal unto them with profound revelation His intentions, His motives, and what He intends for them to do. But this is not a generation that will wait. This is not a generation that will wait. They have no patience. Don't you know when you're patient, you possess your soul? What is patience? How do patience come? Come by tribulations. Come by trials. And yet they're not willing to be tried, and they think they have patience, they're liars. That's our problem today. I'm not worried about this wicked world. I'm talking to this house today. They're steeped in their own wickedness and their self-righteousness. Your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I will throw it out. Doesn't produce anything at all but filth, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Doesn't produce anything fruitful. Nothing at all. You think we have what it takes, but we don't. If you see what you got today, at the least trial offends you and throw you off, then honey, you don't have what it takes to make it in. And that's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. And you can't combat against the powers of hell now. You're not going to do it when the powers are centralized and there's a formidable foe against you. You're not going to do it. We're going to live by faith whether we believe it or not. Those are going to be justified in His name. They're going to live by faith. And you think he's going to come down from the glories again? His next coming is going to be when he's going to reveal himself to his people and to this wicked world. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And those that are upon the earth, vengeance and wrath and the fury of Yahweh is going to be poured out upon them. You can't make it through these little trials today. How are you going to make it? If you're offended at these little things, how are you going to make it? You're not going to make it. You're going to be guided to double your soul by the law of righteousness. You're governed by your emotions and your feelings. You're governed by your religion. And your religion is not even pure. It's not even pure. Because it's defiled, it's not undefiled. It has no concern for the widows, or the homeless, or the fatherless. Now you've got concern about yours. But out of God's pure religion, it is undefiled. So your religion is not even pure. It's not even pure. We've been taught that you won't even do it, and you're compelled to do it. Oh, you visit those that you like. Those you love. Those that you're concerned about. Those that you want to see saved. He's not going to save them. He's going to save those that he preordained before the foundation of the earth. What a wicked generation. Then he brought Lot out and destroyed his wife. He brought the wives out but destroyed the sons. Destroyed every last one of them. Now either you believe that or the word of Yahweh is a lie. And so the God of your belly tells him to conform to your standards. This is what I want. I want you to say this one and that one and this one. Save them. I want him to save his name. I want his name to be saved. Out of all this trash, I want his name to be saved. Because he's done everything in his name. I want that name to be saved. The great name of Yahweh. I want that name to be saved. And he's going to save his name. He's not going to walk about shamefaced with his name. Because he got pity on his name. What name? He has a name for Almighty Yahweh. He has a name. And this generation despises it. They hate it. They don't love it. No more than those foolish ones then. They despise it. Sure they do. They don't love him. Because his name represents him. His name represents him. His name represents him. Him. And Messiah came in his name to represent him. He did not come to represent some foreign government. He came to represent the government of eternity. He did not come to represent Ashtaroth or Balaam. He came to represent Yahweh. Now the authority was that he was in his name. And he hasn't changed that at all. What must we do? We better begin to pray. I warn this house today. We better begin to pray. We better begin to check our souls and our hearts out. And see the little leaven. The little leaven leavens at the whole lump. We walk in our Pharisaic minds. Thinking that we possess all these senses and we don't even possess the ingredients. We have to govern our hearts and our minds and our spirits. This is a touching little generation. There's no strength at all. No spiritual strength. None whatsoever. And this little thing, they break under the weight of that. You crush my emotions, my feelings. You go to hell with your emotions and your feelings. He's going to tell you, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I don't even know you, Yahweh. I came and I sang in your name. I shouted in your name. I lifted up your name. I did all those things in your name. And yet there was no law for his name, no law for him. It's a shallow generation. They're easily offended. Messiah says, if you're going to follow me, first of all, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And this is a hard thing. And they think that there's a hard thing for this weak generation. It's a wicked generation. Why I have to do? Why must I do? Because he commands you to do it. Amen. Does he take delight in sacrifices and blood offerings? No, he takes delight in obedience. For obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. He wants us to obey him. That's what he wants. He wants us to walk in obedience. And this is a disobedient generation. We say we are not, we are a disobedient generation. We show that in our everyday walk with one another. We show how we disobey. And don't you know that Messiah is the hope in one another? We will fight against each other. We will despise one another. That is not the spirit of Almighty Yahweh. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's his heart. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing. And as they began to mutter and complain, that's so hard. Why would he ask us to do that? Why we have to deny our flesh? Why I can't have that? Why I can't go there? Why I can't do that? Why I have to do this? And as they began to murder and murmur and complain, they opened the door to every kind of vile thing and every kind of clean spirit. And they said, I'm not going to do what he tells. I'm not going to do it, honey. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to do it. Now, you can do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, come on, I'm going with you. You never seen that spirit? Check your own heart. But I'm not going to do it. That's what they did to Messiah. For his name is a glorious name. Well, I don't like that name. I don't want that name. Come on, honey, follow me. That's what they did. It's corrupt, it's vile, it's wicked. And they all turned away and they didn't walk with him no more. And he turned only to the 5,000 he had fed them. Oh God, save my son. I'm so glad he's saved. A glad baby saved. Ooh. And all that foolishness and that shaking, nothing to it. Falling. Oh, I love him. No, they don't love him. That's a fruit. That's a fruit that comes forth with the man love Yahweh. And when Messiah comes, he's coming from an abundance. An abundance. And he is the husband man, and he does prune. He prunes back. He prunes back every tree. That it may bear an abundance of fruits. I said to Brother Allen this morning, the first day of January, Deacon Bitter will be pruning. Why? Because the trees will look all cut back. Like there's no life. But it will produce the life. And that's what he constantly does. And this is the wicked generation that doesn't want to be cut. Ouch, you hurt me. You hurt my feelings. I don't like that. You hurt me. I don't like that. Oh, you cut me. You said that. You make me feel bad. You embarrass me. That's what it says. And he looked and they all had turned. Except 11. And he said, will you all go also? And they said, where do we go? For you have the bread of life. There's no other way to turn. Where do you go? To some religious whore? To soothe you? And give you some kind of feeling that you're right? Any husbandman prunes in every season. We must bring forth the fruit at the right time. And they must be ripe. They must be ripe. There's nothing like going and pulling a scuffed ark, a scuffed vine, and it's not ripe. It leaves a bitter taste. It's too firm. When you grab the one that is right, it's sweet. It's pleasant to the taste. It's pleasant to the belly. And we must be pruned at the right time for the right ripening, for the fruit to bear, to be luscious. And to be beautiful. And we're in the hour whereby we, the husbandman, he is the husbandman.
Amen. Lord. Amen.
He's going to prune. For his word is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts asunder, it divides and it separates the spirit from the flesh. It pierced even down where it cut the marrow from the bone. It pierced to the inward parts. That is the saving power of Yahweh. When a tree is dying, you must prune it. Anyway, you're going to save it, you must cut it back. It may look like a stub when you cut it back. You may have to cut it down that there's no beauty there at all. There's nothing for the eyes to behold. It looks as though that it will produce nothing at all. You can't even see bud, but you cut it down to where the life is. And the life of all of this is a love for Almighty Lord Yahweh, that we be grounded and rooted in his love. You may cut it down whereby it looks as though that there's nothing there. It looks ugly. It looks as though that it will never bring forth any fruit. And in due season, all of a sudden, it began to bud. And all of a sudden, overnight, the branches began to extend and began to reach towards the heavens to bless him and to praise him. And when Yahweh truly purges and cuts a man, the branches will begin to lift up unto the heavens. You prune a tree in a way whereby the branches will reach out in a way that almost give it a praise or surrenderance unto him. And that is what will happen. But this generation says, no, don't cut me. We need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. Yeah, we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. You're not going to overcome without the sword of the Spirit. You're not going to battle this force of hell without the sword of the Spirit. Not some carnal word, but a lively word. It's a word that is alive. It's a word that exalts him and builds confidence in your heart that he is alive and that he is real. And when Satan took Adam and Eve away from that truth of every tree in the garden, thou mayest eat, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And Satan said, nah, you ain't gonna die. He knows that you will become as gods. And that's what this generation says. Nobody's gonna govern me. They won't allow this to govern them. They won't allow his truth to govern them. They won't allow the word to govern them. But they will allow their flesh, their sin, their emotions, their feelings, their lust, their corruption. They won't allow all those things to govern them. You will allow your drunkenness. You will allow your anger. You will allow all those things to govern you. You will allow your choosing. Isn't that something? Because you didn't choose yourself. He did. Any man that walks in the knowledge of his goodness, then his steps are ordered by him. He doesn't sacrifice into the world. He doesn't give his heart unto this wicked generation that is corrupt. This generation is corrupt. It's vile. And there are going to be few. Few. You can make that what you want to make it. Few. Few there be that go in at that gate. It's a straight gate. And it's a narrow. And there are only going to be a few. But broad and wide is that gate that leads to destruction. And there be many, many, many. It is so broad that every one of your concepts and every mind in here, that's how broad the gate is. That's how broad it is. And you can go in with anything you want to go in with any kind of attitude. You can go with any kind of God you want to. But you can't go on the straight way that way. You're going to have to bow to get in this straight way. You're gonna have to unload yourself before you get in this way. Yeah, you have to load yourself. Sure you are. That's the only way you're gonna get in this way. And what the world does, it speaks to you all the time. They speak to you in their newspaper articles and the lust and their advertising. They feed your lust and your greed. Don't tell me you love Yahweh. Well, there's a love for his truth. Nobody's going to love him and say, love him without loving his name. It's one thing about you that are married, you that desire to be married. When you hear the name of that one that you think you love, it arouses you and it does something to your heart. Sure does. Sure does. Sure does. Brother Charles is coming home. It arouses. It does something in the heart by the hearing of that name. By the hearing of that name. By the hearing of that name. We've heard the name of Jesus. Still hasn't promoted us to do right. We've sinned. He's bringing judgment upon this house. That's what he did with Israel. That's what he did with the priests. He said, you are cursed because you've already despised my name. You are cursed. You already cursed. Why? They despised his name so they didn't bring the offerings and sacrifices unto him. What wife despised her husband's name? If she despised her husband, she would despise hearing that name. husband despised the wife's name. There's a great fracture there. When he hears that name, he despises it. He doesn't want to hear that name. A hater, a despiser. When he hears that name, it arouses something in him. Makes him angry. You can sit here like hypocrites all you want to. That is the truth. When he hears that name, know what she's done to him. Know what he's done to her. When she hears it, she despises it. I hate that man. That woman makes me sick. Sure, that's what they say. It's the name. Not husband. The name. When she hears that, she gets all blown out of shape. Sure it is. That's the truth. That's the truth. Man had a wife. She did it wrong. She lived like a Jezebel. Woman having a husband. Knowing he was a whoremonger. Did her wrong. And all of a sudden there's something that appeals in him. Appeals in her. When she hears that name, she hates it. Don't sit here like liars. She hates it. He hates it when he hears that name. So, sure it is. That's the truth, Pastor Roberts. That's why men despise his name. That's why they despise it, because he brings judgment. He judged them. He showed them how foul they are. He shows them their sins. So they hate the name. Sure they do. I'll say that again. If a man had an experience with a woman, with a wife, or vice versa. Elder Crawford, you're older than me. And if I'm speaking something of presumptuousness, say so. If a man has an experience with a woman, or a woman has an experience with a man, and it breaks up violently, he goes through this tremendous episode in his life with her. When he hears that name, because he has developed such a hatred for that one, when he hears that name, he despises everything about her. She hears that name, he says, I hate that dog. Sure that it is the power of the name that arouses. Sure it is. Your dad is coming home. They know who daddy is. They can see David Roberts. They can see Jane Jeffler. But when they see Ray Robinson, that's a different thing. Who's your mother's name, Elder Crawford? Emma. You know what Emma stood for, didn't you? Judgment. Wrath. Fury. Correction. Sanctification. There were other Emmas and others named Emma, but that Emma, you knew that Emma. There are many gods, but it is your way. Only Him. Only Him. And that's why there's not been a pure service unto Him, because you're trying to serve mammon and Him. I say unto any of you all, woe unto you. I watch men, I watch women, I watch them as they drew disciples unto themselves. Woe. For I don't want the blood on my hand. And that is the truth. And if I'm lying, don't ever come back, you old man. Flee for your soul. Don't come back. Go. Take your wife and go. That's the truth. It is either that Yahweh is going to raise up those that will stand. Despite opposition. Despite the norm and the conformity to the norm. His name has never conformed to the norm. His men have never conformed to the norm. There was not many men that followed him. Either he's going to do that, or we're all damned on our way to hell. There is no salvation at all. There must be one name whereby there is salvation. I want to read a few scriptures today. I had no intention to go this way, but that's all right. I'm not a program. He is the one that programs me. And I'm not concerned about your feelings or your emotions or your likes or your dislikes, whether you like me or not. I don't give a nickel's worth of hog's droppings. And that is the truth. I don't care about that. But he's going to have someone that will warn the righteous and the wicked. Isn't that something that parents and loved ones will see? They say their loved ones, they will see what they call, quote, their loved ones. They will see them in sin. And they will watch their wickedness. Just think about you. And because we don't have the judgment of Yahweh, it's one thing that I stand before Him. As you look at Pythian Davidson, He will say, well, did he warn her? Sure he did. For He spoke judgment unto the woman.